We are up to Perek Tes. Today we're going to finish Perek Tes. I put out a handout. The handout is not a new one. This is from Perek Ches, but it's the same. The series of psukim we're going to have soon are exactly the same as the Perek Ches, with a few minor differences. So I just pulled out the old handout. Okay, let's continue where we left off yesterday. Yesterday we concluded with the 24 Mishmaros. We discussed this idea that they were established by David and Shmuel. We called Shmuel a Roya, and it was established Be'emunah. Emunah either means with permanence, according to the Mitzvot, or it means in faith. The people that were involved were faithful, or it refers, okay, fine, it refers to they were. Right. Now we're up to Perek Tes. We're up to Perek Tes, we're up to Pasik Chof Dalet. Pasuk of Dali Arba Ruchosiyu Hashayarim, the gatekeepers, they guarded on all four sides of the Beis Hamikdash, Mizrach Yama Tzafon Ovenegba. It's very interesting the significance of the order. I don't know what the significance is. That where was the first location? The Mizrach. The Mizrach is the entrance. Then the next entrance, the Yama, is the west. Okay, so we go Mizrach and Yama. East and West, I guess it's not necessarily so insignificant because going in order, the West is obviously the back side of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Kaisel HaMaravi today is the West side. Tzafon v'Negba, then we have North and South. North, Haroitze, person wants to become rich, Yatzpid, you want to become wise, you turn to the South. So why this order? Now, east is obvious because that's where you're coming, you're entering from. West, maybe that's where you leave from. It could be that when you travel, I'm not exactly sure where the exit was when you would come in. You're going from one exit, one entrance, and you leave the opposite. I always like to say over is that the Kaisel HaMaravi is the back. Hashkacha Pratis, we said in the Kina on Tisha B'Av, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he left over for us the Kaisel HaMaravi. Kabbalah Shrin will never leave from the Kaisel HaMaravi. Why? Why Dafka the Kaisel HaMaravi? Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to leave over one of the walls of the Har Bayis, the Klal Yisrael, for all eternity, for all of Galus, that there should be a Mokam of Hashras HaShrin that will never leave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have left over the east, could have left over the west, could have the north or the south. Why did Hashem leave over the west? When you go to the Kaisel HaMaravi, you're standing in the back of the Beis HaMikdash. When if you would come, you would enter the Shar Nikanar up those nice steps, that beautiful gate, that would be on the other side. That's the side where that faces Har HaZeisin, the cemetery. So why did Hashem leave over the west? So we once and over, because the east is the Panim. The Beis HaMikdash can be compared to a human being. The east is the Panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaVyachol, the Shekhinah is looking out. The west is the back. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaVyachol's back. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'reisa Hareini no es kivodech. I want to see your front. I want to see what you look like. I want to see your tefillin. We don't know what this means. These are some of the most mystical psukim of the entire Torah. The most difficult psukim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, no, I'm not going to show you my front. I'll show you, Hinei Mokom Iti, V'nitzavta Latzur, V'yoya Ba'avori, you know the psukim in my heart. Gvi. Very east. Oh, say those words again. Very easy. Acharoi panai lo yerou. You will see my back. You will see my back. You will not see my front. And Chazal tell us, Hashem showed Moshe the kesher shel tefillin, the dalit, that clearly means the back, not the front. The darshanim across the board explain what does this mean to say that b'shas ma'isa, when the things happen in a person in their life, it's impossible for him to understand Hashem's derech. The only thing you can hope for, if you're lucky, is to understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu's derech in retrospect. Panai, what's coming towards you, the pan of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'll never understand. But in retrospect, acharai, then you can perhaps years later look back in history, you can understand the hashkacha pratis, you can understand the midi keneged mida from in retrospect. So, being that the Beis HaMikdash is the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah has a panim. When you come into the Mikdash, you come into the panim, and the back is the acharai. The Shekhinah never left from the back of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is saying, achor panai lo yerohu. Back you're not going to be zocha, but v'ro'isa es acharai. the Shechina will always be with Klal Yisrael in the geder of the back, from behind, acharai. And that's why the Shechina remains the Kosel HaMaravi. On the backside is where we are able, even in times of Golus, to relate to the Hashuas HaShechina. Just like Moshe after the Cheder Egel, the time of Chorban, the time of Golus, he smashed the Luchos. During that Kuvan period of time, the Luchos did not exist. That was the time of Golus. And Hashem said, Achorai. So this is something to keep in mind when you go visit the Kosel HaMaravi, you're going to the Mokom of Rechis as Achorai upon Ilo Yerohu. Here, I don't know the significance, I didn't see anyone, because you know, you do the Avoda called Pinoshat upon Ilo Yehei Ela Liyamin Mizrach. You're always going to the right. So the Ponim, what's the Ponim? The Ponim is east. So you would expect the next thing to be the south. The guards, if you want to go describe the order of where the Levim stood Mishmar, you want to give a general synopsis of where they stood guard, you would think east, south, west, and then north. Just like when you go on the Mizbech, you circle the Mizbech, you go Kol Pina Shatapin Lo Yehei Elalim in Mizrach. So that's when you go up the Mizbech. The Mizbech is facing north-south. So when you're coming to the Beis HaMikdash, you'd expect to go in a counterclockwise direction. But I don't know what the significance is. That's not what it says here. East, west, north, and then south. When you do that Na'anu'um, what do you normally do by Na'anu'um? Minhagim. So, okay, circular, counterclockwise, Ashkenaz, and what does the Sfarim do? What do the Sfarim do? I don't know. No, no, it's a what do you do?
It's a svart. I mean, they do like a circle. They don't go down. But
when they start,
way,
no, I think they go. They start with right.
This is the one.
Back, west.
Right, down, and back.
Yeah,
right.
Nusach. I'm all mixed up right now. I'm doing this for my whole life. All of a sudden, out of context, you're totally mixed up. All of a sudden, out of context. It's like my locker. I have the same locker for forever. The same combination locker for generations. I have this. And then one night I had to go, and every day I go get my tool. I go there without even thinking. I go to yeshiva with the locker, just take out my tool, and even think. One night I had to go get my tool at 10 o'clock at night because it was a simcha. I forgot to bring it home, so I come there at 10 o'clock at night. What's the combination? For the life of me, what's the combination?
Those are called senior moments.
No, it's not a matter of being a senior moment. It's the complexity of the mind when you're not in a certain setting. Okay, but this is something that is very interesting, which bothers me. What is the significance of giving it? With every word over here is written with very great precision, and we're discussing the four places where the Levim Sagard, and we're giving this very unusual order: east, west, north. North is money. That's where the money is. Mitzafon tiposa choroh. Kesef yanes akol. And then comes south. South is where the Torah is. Is chachma. Okay, let's go further. Let's just see over here the mitzudos pasuk of dal in the mitzudos very quickly. Li arba ruchos bechol arba ruchos yamdu hashoyarim lishmor ugedula the kavod hu lebayis shayamdu ba shayim. I don't know why the mitzudos is telling us this now. This is an obvious concept that it's an honor and a kavod that there should always be guards standing on all four posts, all four sides of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, pasuk chof hey. Lovo and their brethren. Then the brethren refers either to the 212 people we mentioned yesterday that were part of this group, their brethren, who lived b'chatzrehem, who lived in the courtyards that surrounded Yerushalayim. They did not want to live in the big cities because they wanted to be near the Beis HaMikdash. Lovo, they would arrive. L'shivas hayamim, they would come every 7 days. This was the concept of the Mishmar, which we learned yesterday. The Mishmar, they rotated on a weekly basis. Each Mishmar was there for 1 week, and they rotated. Me'es el es im ela, from time to time, together with these. Now, this is a very unusual pause, because in the Torah, and Rath Chazal, the Gemara, whenever we have the expression me'es le'es, it always means a 24-hour period. And here it's not being used that way. It means a weekly period, from week to week. It's a very unusual way that it's being used. Let's see Pasuk Chaf in the Mitzudos. V'acheihem chaverim shel neskum l'malo hayoshim b'chatzreihem aleim lovo lishmor al shivas hayamim. the brothers, the brethren, the family, the mishpacha of the people mentioned above, those groups, they would come eis al eis, the eish bohu oz yelchu b'kalin shivas hayamim, the avohu achedim b'mukayimim. They would come from time to time. There was a rotation. They shifted. The shift was over every 7 days. Imele ratzolaymar gam ele haniskarim b'shmam. Those that were mentioned above, those leaders, Yavo Bavo Itam the Yisakvu Shiva Sayam. So he's telling us that the people, the four people mentioned above, those four distinguished people, they also only arrived for 7 days. That's what it seems to say. That's interesting. I mean, because Alam Farj Melon, like they learned that the people mentioned above in Pasuk Gitzayin, those Shalom, Akuv, Talmon, Achimon, and they were there 24/7. They lived there. They had a post. They were administrators. This was a full-time parnasa. Whereas the other 210 people, they only came occasionally, once in every 24 weeks to serve for 1 week. But that's what the Mitzvah says, that even the people mentioned by name only arrived, only were there for 7 days every 24 weeks. Pasuk Chavav Ki Emuna Hema. Everything was done with emuna. As we mentioned yesterday, the emunah here, according to the Mitzvah, means with permanence. There was a permanent system put into place. According to other Rishonim, emunah means faith. The people that serve with faith. Hema, they did it with faith or with permanence. Arbas Gibori Hasharim, the four mighty gatekeepers. Who are the four mighty gatekeepers? Those mentioned back in Pasuk Yud Zayin Shalom, Akuv, Talmon, Achimon, and the head of those four, the Pasuk says Shalom Harosh. So they did it with permanence and with faith. Heim they Halavim, they the Levim, the Hoyu al Halashachos, and here we have something very important. In addition to serving as gatekeepers, they also were in charge of the chambers. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were many different rooms, compartments, where things were stored. Things of very great value for Klal Yisrael, historical things. They were stored, and money obviously came in, donations, there were finances, and there were many offices. The people that were in charge of these offices were the Levim, who were also the gatekeepers. The Hayu al HaLashachos, they were on the Lashachos, Velo Etzaros. So Lashachos are different chambers. The Al HaOitzros, I guess storage areas of Beis HaElokim. Usavivo space HaElokim, the Pasuk of Zayin, and they lived around the Beis HaMikdash, Yalinu, Ki Aleihem Mishmeres, because upon them was the Mishmeres here means the responsibility. Okay, Mishmeres here does not mean like it says before, the Mishmoros. Mishmeres here means the responsibility to guard, to serve as guards. Okay, that's how the Mitzvah translates it. Veheim Al HaMafteach, and they also were in charge of the keys, the laboker. And this job was to open up the doors every single morning. Now this is a very difficult part because we have other indications, especially from the Mishnayis, it's a Mishnah, Masechta Midos, or Talmud, I don't remember, and maybe Yoma, is that the ones that opened up the doors were the Kohanim, not the Levim. So there appears to be a discrepancy between what it says here in Divrei Hayamim and in the Mishnah, who was in charge of the keys. So in the art school, Divrei Hayamim, Rabbi Eisenman, he quotes from Josephus. No, it could be it's not Josephus, it could be it's from another historical wreck, which I'm not exactly sure of the source. Good morning. And it says there that there are records that they work together. That the Kohanim were the ones who actually opened the doors, but when they finished opening the doors, they entrusted the keys to the Levim. There's a record, there's a historical record of exactly, it was a handoff of, it was done by both. The one that maybe actually turned the shisel, he turned the key with the Kohanim, but the ones that, I guess, presented the key, had the key on a nice pillow, and walked around with it, they would go to a key ceremony where you present the key of the city to when the mayor presents the key of the city to a distinguished guest. So you bring out the key on a nice pillow, right? A nice red cushioned pillow, nice big key, and the key is taken off and presented to the dignitary. Yeah.
The word emunah, can it
have any connotation from the word omein.
Yes, we mentioned that yesterday.
No, I know, but the translation of the word omein as skilled.
And a skill?
Omein is a skill. An omein, I think, may also have a connotation.
Could be.
Of a skilled.
I'm not familiar.
Word.
It could be. Vayihi omein es hadassah. You have a.
In terms of uman, that's.
Uman is a craftsman. Could be. It was done with precision and skill.
Skilled.
Okay, there's another translation for what he's saying, something very interesting.
So, Beis HaMikdash had hours, in other words, at a certain hour they closed up?
Yes, early in the morning. It's a Mishnah, Mesech HaTamid, Mesech HaTamid, Mesech HaNidos, Mesech HaYoma. Those are the three places that discuss in great detail what took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, it was opened at a certain time and closed at a certain time. And the only one that had access were the Kohanim, the Hamonam, were not allowed to come anytime they wanted. People who needed to bring a proper carbon, there was a time. It had to be after Tamish Ben Arbayim. There was a system.
That they had closing time.
Yes, yes. The doors of the Azara were closed at night. When the sun set, the stars came out, the doors were shut and were locked. There was real locks. I don't know which company provided... Siegel.
Yeah.
Okay, Jewish name.
Yeah.
I'm Segula. But today they would probably, you know, they would probably have, you know, you have to have fingerprints and they would check your eyes, you know, scans, all high-tech type of security measures.
No combination.
It's very interesting. What's going to be, like, I imagine in the Bayesh there's going to be running water. I assume to be partial, they'll have pipes, if they're cleaning a lot of karbanos, they have to. There was the Beis Mikdash in the Beis Mikdash was very busy. They were constantly washing and cleaning the animals, salting. What's going to be in the Bayis Shlishi? Are they going to go back to the old system of drawing water from the well? Maybe they will. Or maybe there'll be modern plumbing in the Beis HaMikdash, in the part of the Mikdash where they actually shechted and they prepared the karbanos. They needed a lot of water. Had to be. There was a shisin. The shisin went through, but it's not exactly clear. I mean, they drew water. I don't know. Yet to draw water, to do. I'm sure they'll definitely. Yeah. Definitely, it could be. Could be. Maybe not. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It remains to be seen.
The Roman plumbing was better than ours.
Really?
They had advanced plumbing systems in those days.
Really? Okay.
I mean, geothermal.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so this is an idea that they were in charge of the keys to open up the doors daily. Again, one more time, here it says it was done by the Levim in the Gemara Itzmash or the Kohanim, and the answer given we have from historical records that there was some type of partnership and they worked together. We know we say in Dan, there's a beautiful medrash, and it's not very frightening medrash, is that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Kohanim, not the Levim, they went to the roof. And they said, Ribbono shel Olam, you're not happy with us? Here are the keys. We give you back the keys. And they threw the keys to Shemayim, and a hand came out of heaven and took the keys. And then the Kohanim jumped off the roof and they fell into the fire and they died. From the Medrash, it's very clear it was the Kohanim. The Kohanim who said to Hashem, we're not good custodians. So that's a little difficult when it says here the ones that were in charge of the keys were the Levim. Even though there was a partnership, we see that the emphasis was on the Kohanim. There's a famous voice, we say in Davening, Mibnei Hayod Shedeshtalcha B'Mikdashacha. Mibnei Chatele B'Mikdashacha. I'd say, Ve'in Anachni Yecholim La'asor Le'ra'os L'shtachavos L'fenecha Abayi Sagol V'Yakadosh Nukos Shimcholov Mibnei Hayod Shedeshtalcha B'Mikdashacha. The simple translation is because of the foreign hand of power. The Romans, the Babylonians, they have taken hold. They have put their hand of power into the Beis HaMikdash and have prevented us from serving you. But the drush is the Bnei Hayod, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yukav Yochel sent down the hand from heaven and you took back the keys. The Bnei Hayod Shenishtalcha, the Yod that was the Shalcha Bnei Hayod, to take the keys away from us. But it's a fascinating thing. By the way, not everyone learns the word hamafteach means a key. Okay, I translate the key here from the Mitzudos. But if I'm not mistaken, others learn, v'heim al hamafteach. Mafteach means the opening. Mavtech, we translate the modern Hebrew, I mean, it's simply, actually, the Mitzvah says, Mavtech means the key. The ones that were in charge of the keys to open the doors daily were the Levim. Other Rishonim learn Mavtech means the opening. Opening means the post. The post, the gate. It's just another fancy word for the gate to the Beis HaMikdash. Veheim al HaMavtech. They were in charge of standing by the openings, the Laboker, and they did this, their role, faithfully, daily. Every single day they were there at their appointed time. Pasuk Chav Ches, Umehem al Klei HaAvoda. Now, in addition to the Levim serving, there are a lot of things going on here in these psukim. It's not clear the flow. I don't really have a real grasp. I tried to do the best that I could, but we're jumping back and forth between different themes. They're gatekeepers, and they did it with faith. And then it mentions that they were in charge of the Lashachos and the Eitzrois, and they stood around the Beis HaMikdash. They were in charge of the keys. And now we go to Pasuk Chav Ches, Umehem al Klei HaAvoda. A new concept. Not just the Lashachos. Right, I know, it's hard. I don't have a grasp. But if you look carefully, there are different themes. Okay, it's Shearim, gatekeepers, Lashachos, Eitzrois, Mafteach, and now we come to a fifth thing, the Klei HaAvoda, the utensils of service, which means that this is a Gemara Masechta, it's really Yerushalmi. There were 93 kelim used every single day. It's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Masechta Tomit. It's a Mishnah. 93, it's a Mishnah Masechta Tomit, and the Yerushalmi explains the significance of the number 93, because in the Sefer Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Hashem's name appears 93 times. So, in order to, they were the last set of prophets. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, they died approximately at the time of the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, at some time during into the Bayis Sheni, and as a remembrance for their prophecy, the Hashem's name appeared 93 times. They established there should be exactly 93 utensils used every single day for the daily avod, a minimum. Of course, if people bring proper karbanos, then of course you can have more. But we're talking about the bare necessity. And the ones that were in charge of, we'll see the next pasuk, of bringing them in and taking them back and counting them and make sure all 93 are accounted for were the Levim. Yes.
And the next pasuk they use the term clay kodesh.
Right, the al clay. So, right. So the question is, what's the difference? I don't know. It's not clear. It's really not clear. What is the difference between the clay hoavoda? Look at this. Let's read this pasuk. Pasuk chafei umehem. These levim al clay hoavoda. They were in charge of the clay hoavoda. Ki b'mispar by number yivium. They would be brought. Yavi means, I guess, misper yotzium, be brought, means brought back.
Maybe each keli had a number.
Yeah, or they were counted for. There was a mental account. You know, the best security, you go today to the White House, or you go to all the top, most important places, the highest security, they don't ask you for fingerprints. They know in advance what you look like. If you have an appointment to come and see the president, so okay, you'll have to go through metal detector and all that. But the people who are closest to the president, and this is true in all the highest levels of security, they in advance know the president's schedule. They know who's supposed to come, and they have a file on you, and they know exactly what you look like, and they know how tall you are, and they know the type of clothing you wear. And the way they know that you are who you are, they don't have to ask you for your pass, for your visitor pass. They look at you. They're trained to look at you and to know this is the right person. That's right, you can come and have a meeting with the president. Okay, Kobe will also have, just for the chitzenius, they'll have a visitor pass. So the 93 children did not necessarily need numbers. They were so, this is what they were trained to do. Do we have the kalim? Do we not have the kalim? They were trained, there should be exactly 93 kalim. Now, by the way, in the Kina on Tisha B'Av, where we talk about what happened on Titos came into the Beis Hamikdash. It mentions one of the things that caused the Bnei Yisrael great pain was they woke up in the morning and the 93 kelim were missing. We actually mentioned the 93 kelim were no longer to be found. I once heard a drush. The significance of 93, besides what it says, the Gemara Yerushalmi, 93 is the number of times Hashem's name appears in Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. It also refers to the total number of the members of Sanhedrin. There were 70 members of Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin Gedola, the Sanhedrin Haggadah, the large Sanhedrin. And the there's a machlokes. There was a 70 or 71. Moshe al gabeim. It's a machlokes in the first mission of Masechet Sanhedrin. Let's assume, like the Man Amar, there was 70. And even if you want to say the 71, that 71st person was a different role. He was more of the in charge. There were mainly 70 people. Hashem told Moshe, "Go and get me 70 people." And then there were 23 members of the Sanhedrin Ketana that sat in the Azara. So what is 70 plus 23? 93. So the 93 Klei Ho'avoda, Klei Shares, corresponded to the 93 members of the Sanhedrin. Because the ultimate Klei Shares is a human being, is a Talmud Chacham, is a person. A person, what is a Klei? The most basic Klei is earth. It's clay. It's earth.
No. Donation to your
synagogue.
You have a check?
Yeah.
Cashier.
We only take credit cards. only American Express.
God, we trust others pay cash.
Okay, so we have there are 93 members of the what is a Kli? A Kli is an earthenware utensil made from earth and liquid. What is a person? Person is Afar Min Hu'adama mixed with water. So that's the significance of the 93 kelim mehem al klei avodah ki b'mispar yivium b'mispar yotzim. Let's see what the Mitzudos David says. Pasuk Chaf Ches u'mehem min hasha'arim hayu memunim al klei avodah ki mizrakim. So he tells what the klei avodah are. The mizrak, these are the bowls used to collect blood. Umachtois, shovels, vehadoimim, and things that are similar. Yiviyum, milishka sakelim el mokim hamizveach. So the word yiviyum means to bring them in to the place of service. And yotziyum means misham el shochets. When the day was over, they were in charge of making sure everything was taken back to the chamber, and all of the kelim have been accounted for. No one took a utensil home with them to sell on eBay. Okay. Nase salideim ala kelim. Let's now go to Pasuk Chavtes. Umehem mimunim al hakelim, and from the Levim was also mimunim. They were appointed al hakelim, nachama more kelim. So what are these more kelim? So the Mitzudas David tells us, yeser hakelim she'enam klei havoda, v'hem klei bishuluch edoyme. So this refers to cooking pots. Pots and pans that were used to prepare the meat that was eaten by the Kohanim and the Yisraelim. And then it says one more thing, klei, we all call klei HaKodesh. What's that? Shulchanos u'menorois v'hadoinim. So that refers to the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach Hazav. Those are called the klei Kodesh. Next, the pasuk goes on to say, "V'yal asoyles, the flour, the hayayin, the hashemen, the halavoyne, the habesam, different things are used for the actual korbanos. The mesudas losoyles, asoyles, the hashemen, the menachos, the hayayin, the nesachim, the halavoyne, losays, the bezichin, al mareches lechem aponim, the habesamim, the ketores, the mesam for the ketores. All these things were set aside. So let's review." Let's review all the different items. If you go back from what we started with today, from Pasuk Chavdal to Pasuk Lamed Aleph, we have the Levim were in charge of being Shoy Arim. And then it says, Nachamal and Pasuk Chavav, their brothers also were Shoy Arim. And then it tells us, okay, so I have Shoy Arim. They were in charge of the Leshochos, the Oitzorois. They were in charge of the Mafteach, that's already four. Klei Ho'avoda, those are the Mizrakos. Then we have the kelim, cooking pots, klei hakodesh, which includes the shulchan, the menorah, the fixed, the kelim, the shulchan, the menorah, and the mizbeach hazav.
And the klei avoda, probably the movables.
Well, that's what it says. It says the klei avoda, the mizrakos. It says the bowls used to collect blood and the knives, and then we have all the different things: the soilus, the yayin, the shemen, the levayin, the avosamim. That's a set of different things that we use to actually do avos. So there really are, I think, a total of 8 different functions. I'm including together one category: the soilus, the yayin, shemen, the levayin, the avosamim. 8. 8 is a nice number. 8 is always, you know, lamal and derech hateva. 8 different things which the Levim were in charge of. That's how it's been broken up here in this pasuk. Now, we come to a few people. Now we're going to specify something by name. Umin b'nei ha-kohanim. Now we're going to the Kohanim. Let's give them some honorable mention as well. We discussed here so far just the Levim. But even though the Levim were in charge of keeping cheshbon of the flour, the oil, the wine, all the kelim, but the ones that actually prepared the menachos and prepared the various things with the kohanim. Min b'nei ha-kohanim roikrei ha-mirkachas la-besamim. They were in charge of preparing the spices for the besamim.
Mixing
everything. And roikrei means crushing. They would actually crush. Okay, irach means to mix. Right, to mix the besamim. They were the master besamim makers. Okay, next.
Kachas is modern Hebrew a pharmacy.
Pharmacy, right? But here it means to have it in all of the stores to try to get into the business. They think by putting on the merkachas on Walgreens, everyone flappish is going to come,
right.
Give them business. They want their business. Just say discount prices, then they'll have the business. Merkachas is not going to do it.
I had to sell some money.
What merkachas hasamim? Right, it means the mixture of the different types of ingredients, the samim, to make the yud aleph samonim. Okay, let's go further. Now we come to matisya min halavim hu abuchar lishalum hakorchi. Now we have this person matisya min halavim. Who is matisya? So let's look at the mitzudos. There is no mitzudos. Let's go read the entire pasuk again. Pasuk lamed aleph matisya min halavim hu habuchar. L'shalom hakarchi be'emuna, he was faithful, or he was permanently in charge al maaseh hachavitim, on preparing the chavitim for the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, every single day, had to bring a minchas chavitim. And then it's a special mincha, half in the morning and half in the afternoon. A special carbon for the Kohen Gadol. It appears to be a very difficult carbon to make, how it's prepared. And the one that was in charge of making it was this Levi called Matisya. He was a Levi. Okay, let's see the Mitzvah's Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Be'emuna Bikium Chozok. Okay, so this again is consistent with the interpretation of the Mitzvah's that Amuna means permanence. Hayim Muna Al Maaseh HaChavitim Ve'Heim HaMenochos Maaseh Machvas. It's made in a special pan. Me'asiris So'efa, tenth of an efa. HaKorev B'chol Yom. It's offered every single day. Machatzisa Baboker, Machatzisa Be'erev. V'hu Hayim Muna Lov LaHazgir U'Lezareis Lios Korav Izmano. So according to the Mitzudos, it does not mean that he actually did it, made it, because he's a Levi. And the actual making of the Korbanos were given to the Kohanim. But the Levi was in charge, he was the administrator, to make sure that the Kohen was at his station, helping the Kohen Gadol prepare it, that it should be offered. I guess the Kohen Gadol was one that actually put it on the fire. He put it on the Mizbeach. But the preparation of it being made was done by his assistants, other Kohanim. And the one that made sure that it was prepared was none other than this person, Matisya. He was the son of Shalom. Go back to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin, we always come back to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ve'ha-she'arim. We have very 4 distinguished she'arim. Shalom, Akuf, Talmon, Achimon. And the one that's in charge, Va'achihem, Shalom, Harosh. He was in charge. And now, not only are we mentioning him, we're mentioning his son, Matisya. Matisya, he was Almaseh Amin Alvim, Hu Abuchar L'Shalom. He was Shalom's oldest son. HaKorchi, from the Sheva of the Korach branch of the family, Be'emunah, he was permanently in charge, Al Maaseh HaChavitim. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Beis, U'min B'nei HaKehosi, Min HaChayem, Alechem HaMaroches, from the family of the Kehosi, from the brethren of Korach, Alechem HaMaroches, they were in charge of the Lechem Aponim, Lehochin, to prepare it, Shabbos weekly. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Ve'ela HaMeshoirim, and the following singers. Okay, so now we're finished with the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers who were also in charge of those eight things. And we mentioned the two special families, one in charge of the Minchas Chavitin, and one in charge of the Lechem Aponim. And now we mentioned, by the way, there are more Levim. There are singers who are in charge of singing. The people in charge of singing were very, very busy. They were always rehearsing, practicing, meditating to get in the right mood, and therefore they were not involved whatsoever with being gatekeepers and with administrative positions in the Lashokhois and the Oitzrois, and making sure that the Chavitin and the Lechem Aponim were being done. That was not for them. That's what the Pasuk Lamed Gimel tells. So, Min Ove'ela and the following HaMishayrim, the singers, Roshei Avos LaLevim, they were leaders for different branches of the family, Balashokhois Peturim. Now those two words go together. The simple translation is they were exempt. They were exempt from any administrative duty. They didn't have to teach any classes. They were university professors. They just sit in a room and they do research. They don't have to do any administrative work. Meritus. Balashokhois Peturim. They were exempt from serving in the chambers. Why? Ki yomam v'layla aleihem v'malacha. They were busy the whole day with their unique malacha of preparing the song, the shir, that accompanied the offering of the korbanos. They had to sing, they had to play musical instruments, they had to be on a very high level of sanctity because they brought the shechina with their music, and therefore they were exempt. Let's do one puzzle, we'll give everything together. Eile Rashi Ha'avai Salavim, everything that we've learned is a summary of everything we learned in this parak. Eile, all the names listed, all of the people, all different groups, are the Rosh HaAvos, LaLevim, L'Solidosam, and for all future generations, these leaders and these families, they bequeathed their posts to their children, to their descendants, and all of these, they were all leaders. Eile, all of these, Yashu v'Yerushalayim, they had the privilege of living in Yerushalayim. They didn't, because they wanted to be close to, even though we know that the Levim had cities all over Eretz Yisrael, but these families that were leaders, they all lived in the vicinity of the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's run through the Mishnah very quickly, some of these ideas. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Minachayhem, Pasuk Lamed Beis discussing the Kehosi. The Kehosi are brothers of the Korach family. They're all cousins. Minachayhem shol b'nei Korach haniskrem l'mala, because the Korach family was the one that was in charge. That was in charge of the chavitin. Pasuk lamed aleph mentions Matisya min halavim huabchol l'shlom hakorchi. He was in charge of the minchas chavitim of the kohen gadol. Now we're mentioning the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim was handled by the Kohos family. They were in charge. Kohos is a brother of Korach. Shel b'nei Korach, haniskam l'mala, shagam heima b'nei Kohos. Because they also are from the family of Kohos. These, they all share a common forefather. Alechem, hayu memunim alechem aponim. They were in charge for the lechem aponim, ha'aruch al hashulchan. That was arranged on the shulchan, lachin oisah b'chol sham Shabbos. Ve'ela ha-mishoyurim, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Rotzolaymar, Aval Eila ha-mishoyurim, Haniskrem L'mala. But the singers that we mentioned in the beginning of the parak, Shehem Roshe Avos Halavim, who are they? They are Shemaya v'Chaverov. That goes back before Pasuk. If you want to go back to those Pasuk, Shemaya, this goes back to Pasuk Yudalit. If you just flip back to Pasuk Yudalit, we mentioned the singers. So, Min Halavim, Shemaya, Ben Hashub, Ben Azrikam, Ben Hashavya, Min Bnei Merari, Uvak bakar cheresh vegolol matanya benicha ben zichri ben osav vavadi ben shmai ben golol ben yidusim uvrechya ben osav elokana yosh vechatru netafsi. Those were the singers. Okay, pasuk yudal to pasuk tezayin were the singers. They were exempt from all administrative positions. What's lema aval ela hamishar mahaniskom lemal l'shem rosh avos halavim ahem shmai vechavev him yashru betmidus b'lishachos. They sat the entire day b'lishachos. So the way you translate the pasuk is balashachos. Not the way I told you. I translated the wrong way. I translated balashachos piturim. They were exempt from serving in the lishka. That's not what how he translates. He translates it balashachos. They sat in a special lishka where they prepared Juilliard. They had a special Juilliard. What?
Where is the word piturim?
That's a comma. B'lashachos, they sat in a special chamber, and piturim, comma, they were exempt from serving in the administrative post. Like I said, u'piturim hei mishra avoido space Hashem. Why? Ki yoimam v'olayla mutal olayim la'asek b'malachas hashir ve'enim piturim, they're not free k'moy hasha'arim la'asek oid ba'avoida acheres, they don't have time like their brothers who do, or gatekeepers. The gatekeepers had a lot of time on their hands, and they were able to do other things. Whereas the singers were very busy and they had no time to do anything else. Pasuk lamed ele, it's a summary. Haniskam lamala, lisolidosam, Roshim, albene tolos avosam hayu Roshim. They were leaders over their descendants. They were in charge of all of their offspring. Okay, let's see some Rashis. Pasuk, let's go back to Pasuk Chaf Beis. No, Pasuk Chaf Hei. L'shiva Sayamim, L'soif Zayin Yam. They came every 7 days. The Mishmaros were arranged to rotate on a weekly basis. Me'eis Eleis. So here Rashi tells us that the word Me'eis Eleis is used in an unusual form. It means 7 days. Mishiva L'shiva Kol Mishmeres B'Shabbatam. Every 7 days. We also have an idea of a word being used different ways. The word miyamim yamima. So what does it mean miyamim? We have by tefillin. Beshamarto es hachuko hazos lemoado miyamim yamima. There's a machlokes in the Gemara if this word, this expression, refers to tefillin or refers to the Korban Pesach. Because the two things appear, it talks about tzilta of Pesach. If it refers to tefillin, so it's telling you that you should observe the chukah hazos of tefillin daily. Every single day you should put on tefillin, you should put tefillin on your head. Okay, you should put tefillin, miyamim yamima. But if you learn that it refers to Korban Pesach, miyamim yamima means yearly, from time to time, from 1 year to another year. What? Well, Korban Pesach is done once a year, right? So it all depends on how you want to. The chukah, if the chukah refers to tefillin, it's daily. If the chukah refers to tefillin, it is once a year.
So it means that from the 365 days of the year, some days as Yom Tovim, Shabbatot, you are patur learning tefillin. Yomim, Yomim.
Right. There's a whole calculation of a gematria. 300 days. That's why it's shin. That's what someone said. That's why you have a shin on your tefillin. Because Shin is 300. There are 365 days in the year, so 65 days you don't wear tefillin. The Shabbosos and the Yom Tov comes out to approximately 65 days, so it's going to be Shin on the tefillin 300 days. Okay. Chalamori coming. I don't know, it's a very good question. Okay, let's have enough now. But we have over here again it's Meis L'Eis. It means either once in 7 days. Okay, let's go further. Pasik of Zion. Vehem al-Mavteach Azara. Mavteach means al-Miftach Mavteach Azara. We've seen the key to the Azara. V'labok l'labok l'vtoach to open up. Pasik b'chafches. Vehem al-Klei. Klei. Vehem al-Klei. Klei sharis b'mispar yotziyam v'mispar yuviyam.
Why should be counting?
What?
Why should counting how many kelim they took of them to came back? They were honest or trusty. Why you should say?
Say it again?
Why you say they took according to the number? If they took 10, pieces, you should give back 10 pieces.
Right. 93. There were 93 kalim. Right, 93 kalim.
No, but you should say counting. They take and give back. We don't have counting.
They were trustworthy. They were trustworthy.
Why the number? Just the honest and trusty.
They were trustworthy. They don't have to count what they give back because they were.
That's part of the trust. Being trustworthy means that you. That's part of the trust that you count. You actually give a precise number. Klei sharis b'mispar yotzim mispar yivyivyim be'elaha ki pasuk lamgul elaha misharim paturim yikol davar malacha ki kim l'shir shira. They were busy. The only thing they can do is sing shir. Now, so one other interesting point I saw in the art scroll, Devar Hayamim by Rabbi Eisenman. He says, what is going on here? Why is it that the Levim? It's so important for Ezra to tell us that the Levim, in addition to doing their job of gatekeepers, were also in charge of the lishachis, of the chambers and the oitzrois and preparing all of these things. Ma'in zelazek. So he explains that if we look carefully, what we learned yesterday, there's a very good emphasis that what the Levim are doing now in the time of the Bayasheni directly parallels what they did in the Mishkan. We are reenacting, we're creating a reincarnation, so to speak, of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're building a Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash, These are the people that are going to serve were miyuchasim. They can trace the lineage back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the same families, and they're doing the same thing. The main avoda of the Levim in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was not so much standing guard; it was transporting the Mishkan from one location to another location. Right? That's what they had the masos. They travel from place to place. From one location to another location, and the Levim were the ones that carried. They carried the Aro, they carried the Krush, and they carried all the various parts of the Mishkan. So, and then when they put up, they erected the Mishkan, they did the Avoda. They sang Shira, they were guards, and they did what needed to be done. Now when they're coming into a permanent Makom to Beis HaMikdash, there's no more transportation, there's no more transport. So that function from the Levim falls away. There's no longer need for them to take the Aron from the Anani HaKavod to go from one location to another location. That function completely falls away. Ezra's saying it doesn't fall away. That morphed, that was transformed into being custodians, guardians, in charge of maintenance, in charge of the Leshochos, the Oitzrois, the Klei HaKodesh, counting the Kalim, that is the same function. Just like when you transport something from place to place, you're taking care of it. We're going to go from this location to the location, we're going to take it apart, we're going to put it back up together, we're going to make sure everything is accounted for, and we're going to take care of it. When you set something up, and you have a whole number of chambers, and you are the administrators, being an administrator and in charge of all of these different functions, in essence, is the same thing as what the Levim did when they took the Mishkan from one location to another location. So it is a continuation of the Avodah they did in the Beis HaMikdash. This idea parallels transferring from place to place. Okay, now we come to the end of the parak. Let's run through this very quickly. I know it's level. Let's run this very quickly. This is an exact. We learned everything here, and we're going to the next few sukkim already in Perek Ches. This is repeated almost word for word. There are a few small differences, and we learned that long Rashi. When we did Perichas, the reason why Ezra presented another list that's almost identical to what it says in Perichas is because he only had two records. If he had three records, he would go Basarayf. But being that he has two records and the discrepancies, he had no choice but to present them both to account for the discrepancies. So that's what he's doing. And this leading into Perek Yud, which is going to discuss Shaul. And we want to again, once again, tell us about the Yichus of Shaul HaMelech, which is the first Melech. And with his death arrives David HaMelech. So here we go. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Uvigivon Yashu Avi Givon. In Givon lived a person who is called the father of Givon. We have no idea who. Now we don't have no idea who this person is. We don't know how to. We learned last time to trace the Yichus. All we know is his name was Yiel. Now in this handout, you have on the very top of Yigidon, and it does not say the word Yiel because this is one of the discrepancies between Perek Tes and Perek Ches. In Perek Ches, it said the word we did not have a name. There was no name for Avi Givoin. And here, Avi Givon's name is given as Yiel. Okay, again, here Avi Givon's name is given as Yiel, and Perikhes, his name was not given. The shame Ishto Ma'achah, that's exactly the same. Pasuk Lamed Vav, V'no Abuchar Avdon.
This person in the Tanakh.
We mentioned the reason why we're tracing Avi Givon is we want to get to Yishai. Not to Yishai, to a Shol. That's why we're tracing the Yichas. So we have a person named Avi Givon, and his name was Yiel Lashem Ishto Macha. Pasuk Lamed Vav Vinoy Abuchar Avdon. His oldest son is Avdon. Vitzur number two. Vikish is three. Uval, and then we have Ner Vinodav. Notice there is no Ner. Ner is someone new that's added to this list that did not appear in the list in Perikhes. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Ugidor. Then comes the Achyo, Uzicharya. Notice Zicharya is not the same as what it says in Perikhes. It says here Zecher. There it says Zecher. Here it says Zicharya. Next comes Umiklos. Next, Umiklos Holides Shim'om. In Perikhes it says Shim'o. Here it says Shim'on. The Afheim Neged Achayhem Yashu Vivushloim Im Achayhem. And this family from the tribe of Binyamin, they lived also Neged Achayhem, opposite their brethren, their other branch of the Binyamin family. They lived in Yerushalayim Im Achayhem. Pasuk Lamites, the Ner. Ner is another son of Avi Givon. He's the last one on the list. Hoylides Kish. He gave birth to Kish. He was the father of Kish. V'kish hoylides Shaul. Okay, that's why we're tracing this. We want to come to Shaul. V'shaul hoylides Yehoinasan. We know Yehoinasan was David's best friend. V'yesmalki Shua. He was also known as Ish Boishes that we learned last time. V'shaul hoylides V'yesmalki Shua V'yes Avinadav. And Avinadav, the S, Eshbo'al, and the fourth one was Eshbo'al. Next, Uven Yehoina's son was Meriv Boal. Okay, we have now a person is Meriv Boal, Umeriv Boal, and we have a Holid Esmicha. So here is something very interesting that we're changing his name. Yehoina's son had a son called Meriv Boal. And then in the very next words, we change his name from Meriv Boal to Meriv Boal. I guess he was known by both words. Meriv means to quarrel. Meriv also means to quarrel. He was known by two names. And he was the father of this person called Micha. Uvnei Micha. Who is Micha? I'm assuming Micha is a man. Maybe not. I'm assuming it's a man. Uvnei Micha was Pison Vomelech. And here we have this Sachrea. That's not what it said in Perikhes. Perikhes said Ta'are with an Aleph. Here we have it with a Ches. Pasuk Membeis. Now we have Ochos. He was a fourth son to Micha. He gave birth to Hoylides Ya'ara. In Perikhes it was Yehoada. Not Ya'ara, different name, but it's the same person. The Ya'ara Hoylides Olemes. The S Azmodes. The S Zimri. Period. The Zimri holed es Motza, or Motza holed es Bina, and then we have Bina. We change the form of expression. Urifaya Vino. Urifaya was the son of Bina. In Perikhes we called him Rafa. Here we add extra yud was added to his name, and then we have El Osha Vino, and then we come to Otzel Bino. Ula Otzel Lashisha Vanim VeElish Mosam. Azrikam, that's number one. Number two is Bochru. I left it out by mistake. It's missing on the handout. Bochru is number two. And then we have Yishmael. Then we have Usha Arya. And then we have Ovadia. And then we have Chonon. Ela Bnei Otzel. These are the children of Otzel. Okay, so this is the list. No, here we go a little bit short because in Perikhes we mentioned Oshek, another son, and his three sons. That over here, for whatever reason, is not mentioned in this record. Let's just look at some short Rashis, not just to go through the gist of the Rashis. Back over here in Pasuk Lamites, Eshbo'el. Eshbo'el in Pasuk Lamites is the same as Ish Boishes. Okay, we mentioned, if you go look on the chart, to Yehoina's son, So we have Malki Yishu, then we have Esh Bo'al. So he learns Esh Bo'al as Ish Bo'ishas. Okay, I told you that it was Malki Shua. I must have made a mistake. For some reason, I remember Perek Ches. I didn't notice this. No, Mifi Boishas was Meriv Boal. Meriv Boal was Mipi Boishas. There's another person called Ish Boishas. Okay, so here we calling him over here who Ish Boishas. Lachen Kinu Boishas. Why was he called Boishas? Lefi Shebal Loshon Adonihu. The Kinu Loshon Boishas Loshon Ginai. It was an expression of Gnai. Baal means a master of shame. For some reason, Ish Boal means he was a man of Shabal Loshen Adoni, who the Kinu Boishas Loshen Gnai, that he had a Kinui. Obviously, there was something wrong, and they called him Ish Boishas because of some bad event. Meriv Boal. Then if we jump down, we have a person called Meriv Boal. That was the son of Yehoina's son. Zemipi Boishas. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, mi Narvona, from the place of Narvona. Mishosh she'avdu Yisrael es Habal, nikra Habal, shem Boishas. From the time that Klal Yisrael worshipped the Baal, then the word Baal became a word of shame, because Baal was the most popular Avodah Zorah of the time. Okay, that was the name of the Avodah Zorah. And therefore, if a person had the name Baal, had the word Baal, so it meant it's a shame. Nikra Baal Shem Boshes. Tuchsiv Lekater Leboshes Lekater Lebaal. Paskin Yimrod, referring to people that offer frankincense or karbonis to Baal, the pasuk calls it the Boshes. Ki Baal Boshes. The Gidon Nikra Yerubal. Why was Gidon? Okay, the famous Gidon, one of the Shoftim, why was he called Yerubal? Al Shaserav Lo Baal. Because he refused, he was Yorav. He went and contended. He fought with the Baal. The Nikra Yerubal, the Siv Al Avimelech. Mihiko Avimelech ben Yerubosheth, the Sefer Shmuel, the Nikra Yerubosheth Mubal, ki Baal Boishas Echad, who, he was rough, he contested, he quarreled with the Baal. Okay, so that's why over here, just telling us the reason why it's called Boishas. The reason why the name was changed from Meriv Baal to Mipi Boishas was because Baal was the name of an idol, and it was a shame. So when anyone that had that name, they had to go and express, they had to change it to Boshes.
All right. So did not Boshes on him?
So this concludes Perek Tes. It's quite an accomplishment to go through the Yichus, all the genealogy and all of the names of all the Levim. And now from Perek Yudin on, we really go now more into an historical account of what happened during Jewish history. Okay,
did
we'll start there.
Did give on your touching as a person, or as the mayor of the city?
What?
In the first pasuk, the Lamed Hey, Avi Givon, is touching that as a name of an individual, or as the mayor, and city?
Oh, so it could be both. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure.
Moshe doesn't mean Moshe funny.
What?
Moshe doesn't mean Moshe funny.
Yes, Moshe means embarrassment. Boshas means